Today on Real Radio.
It shall be in that day, that is the second coming, that I will seek to destroy all nations that have come against Jerusalem. Don't mess with Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. God's going to save the remnant of Israel. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Wow. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day, there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem. This is what God says through the prophet Zechariah. Isn't that tremendous? I'm coming back and I'm going to take out anybody who's messed with Israel in Jerusalem, God says. Don't mess with Jerusalem.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues with his study series in Revelation. We've just gotten underway with this last book of Scripture. In chapter 1, the risen Messiah is about to dictate letters to the exiled Apostle John. Before that, however, in verses 7 through 11, Jesus refers to himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, which is a reference to his deity. He also alludes to his second coming, one of the greatest hopes for the individual believer and the church. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study simply called Jesus Christ is Coming Again.
For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. Behold, I have told you these things beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, don't go out there. Or look, he's in a secret place, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wow. If you go to New York City, have you been to New York City? If you go to the lower Manhattan, you can take the bridge over to Brooklyn. And just as you get off the bridge, turn right, and you can go to the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. In that building, since the early 1900s, Jesus Christ has been living. Did you know that? Yeah. He returned in the early 1900s, and you and I are living in the millennial reign of Christ right now. How's it feel? You having a good time? The lion's laying down with a lamb, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, I submit to you. Go get a lion and go get a lamb. Put them in here. Watch what happens. According to their prophets, the Lord returned in the early 1900s. He's in Brooklyn. Did you know that? Jesus anticipated that. He said, don't believe it. If I'm in a secret place, they tell you that. It's not true. Don't believe it. He says, when I come back, people will know it. It's like the lightning flashing from the east into the west. Man, a couple weeks ago, we were out at the river with our family and some friends from church having a great time. And then we noticed as the big storm clouds were brewing in the midst of the day, it got a little dark, wind started to blow. And we were there and the storm is rolling across the desert. And the wind starts to pick up. In fact, a couple houses over, they blew the roof off. We're laying down watching the storm come because the wind was blowing so hard. It was really fantastic, actually. And then the lightning, and you can see the lightning, and then we were counting 1,001, 1,002. You know how you do that? And oh, it's 5 miles away, because you hear the rumble. And then flash, and then the rumble. It's getting closer, getting closer. The storm came right over us, surrounded us, but all of us wanted to get a greater view of it, so we went out into this open field. And we're standing there, and all of us are together, and all the ladies are huddling together, and Jeff and I, you know, we're men, stupid men. And so we're standing there, yeah, praise the Lord, isn't this great? And now, literally, there's a lightning going on 360 degrees and overhead. It was a massive high-altitude storm. And then, wham! right instantly with the boom and the flash instantly right around us. And we were just blinded for a millisecond of time. And you should have seen us. The women were crying and screaming. The dog took off running. And Jeff and I, we yelled and screamed louder than all the women combined. I mean, it's... And we ran, and everyone's trying to get into the screen door. Go, get out of my way, get out of my way. It was, and we're like goosebumps, and we're like, oh my gosh, that was awesome. God, you're awesome. And then we started talking. The Bible says that out from the throne issues lightnings and thunders from his throne. And we went, oh. And though the storm was around us, it was majestic. We stayed indoors. We were overwhelmed, and I thought, and I, in fact, I shared it. Can you imagine? This was just a little meteorological storm. Can you imagine standing before the presence of God when he speaks? There's lightnings and thunders that issue forth from his throne. Glory and power surrounds our God. The Bible says that the clouds are his chariots. Don't you love that kind of talk? He holds the wind and the seas in his fists. What an awesome God. He's tremendous, and he's coming in great glory. Verse 7, we see this. He is coming in righteousness. Righteousness. How do we determine that? Because it says here in verse 7, even they who pierced him. Who's that a reference to, everybody? Who pierced him? Israel turned Jesus Christ over to the Roman government. The Roman government was the instrument. But it was an unbelieving Jewish leadership in their religion. It was not necessarily all the Jewish people. Don't get me wrong. They turned him over according to the scriptures by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God. Jesus Christ was going to the cross to die for the sins of the world, including the Jewish people. And God's not done with Israel. It says here in his great coming that even they who pierced him, a reference to Israel. Now, this is an interesting verse because God will somehow allow those who were there at the time to know this, his coming, and those throughout history and those today when his obviously is coming in glory that all the world see him. But there's a wonderful insertion here by this statement, even they who pierced him, a wonderful insertion of compassion. Don't think for a moment that God is done with Israel. Not at all. The book of Romans tells us that for a season, listen, everyone, that for a season, God has set aside Israel, that the Gentiles, that's me, that's you, most of us, if not all of us, have gotten saved in these last 2,000 years, the birth of the church, the Gentile church. It's the church age of grace. And then the Bible says there's going to come a moment when God completes that dispensation of time and he focuses on Israel again. And by the way, anybody know how long that time frame is? It's 7 years. That's why the tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. What's another name for Jacob? Anybody? Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel by God. He is coming in righteousness. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, one of the greatest chapters of all prophetic teaching in the Bible, Daniel 9, 24 says here, 490 years are determined for your people, Daniel, the Jewish people, and for your holy city, Jerusalem. Number one, to finish the transgression. Jesus did that at the cross, by the way. To make an end of sins. Jesus did that at the cross. To make reconciliation for iniquity. That's bringing us to God through his sacrifice, guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Sunday morning. Number four, this hasn't happened yet. To bring in everlasting righteousness. When Jesus Christ returns, he will set up his kingdom, the Bible says, and he will rule in righteousness. Even they who pierced him, listen to this. Jot it down. Zechariah 12, 9 through 11. What a tremendous verse. Prophetic teaching of the prophet Zechariah, written nearly 1,000 years before Jesus was ever born. Keep that in mind as I read this. It shall be in that day, that is the second coming, that I will seek to destroy all nations that have come against Jerusalem. Don't mess with Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. God's going to save the remnant of Israel. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Wow. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day, there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem. This is what God says through the prophet Zechariah. Isn't that tremendous? I'm coming back, and I'm going to take out anybody who's messed with Israel in Jerusalem, God says. Don't mess with Jerusalem. It's God's city. And I know everybody's fighting for it, you know, and try to divide it up. And by the way, the prophet said that that would happen. But God's coming back to take it. And no UN flag is going to keep him. Nobody. He's going to come and take it. God's going to do that. It's where Jesus will rule and reign. But the Lord himself says, they've pierced me. That's interesting. Psalm 22, verse 16, written 1,000 years before Jesus was pierced. The psalmist says, for Gentiles have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked have enclosed upon me, and they have pierced my hands and my feet. Wow. Jesus Christ is coming back. The Bible says he will. Verse 7, we also learn concerning the universal event of Christ coming, that he's coming in judgment. He's going to bring judgment. It says that all the tribes, you ought to circle that word. It means all the ethnic groups, all of them, every color, all ethnic groups and those of every level in society, everybody, all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Why because of him? Listen, because he's coming back in righteousness, he's coming back in power, he's coming back in glory, and he's coming back in judgment, people. Now listen, I believe clearly the Bible teaches the rapture of the church will happen before the second coming. What you don't want to do is be one of those people that are left behind, that push off God's invitation of grace. He says all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And the word here is a very sad word for mourning. It's not, oh, Jesus is the one. All right, let's welcome him back. Jesus is the one. That's not what the word means. They're not mourning like, oh, we blew it. Now we understand. That's not what it means. The word means that they're mourning because they are against him. They're in trouble. They've been caught. It's the word that is used for when you've been busted of a crime. The people of the earth will be busted. The Jesus they mocked will be the Jesus that comes in glory. I tell you, you might want to look at Isaiah chapter 26. It's an amazing couple of verses. Isaiah 26, verses 19 to 21. It clearly delineates the two events of the rapture of the church and the second coming. Listen to what the prophet is given to by God. He says, your dead shall live together with my dead body, they will arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the earth. That's resurrection. For your dew is like the dew of herbs. When the sun comes up, dew evaporates. It rises upward. And the earth will cast out its dead. Come, my people, enter into your chambers and shut the doors behind you and hide yourself, as it were, for just a moment. Why? We would ask the question, how come? Right? If we're all like five-year-olds, it's why? Why do I need to hide behind your chambers, Lord? Why should I come and be with you and be hidden where you're at? He says, until the indignation is past, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish all the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. My people, he says, my people are hidden away at a time when all my wrath is poured out upon the earth. And that's exactly what the book of Revelation speaks about concerning his judgment. Jesus Christ is coming again. Our second point found in verse 8. Who is he that's coming? We can go through this portion quick. You already know it. Who is he that is coming? Well, whoever he is, he's the eternal one. He's the one who is the Alpha and the Omega. It says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. That's tremendous. The one who is coming is the Alpha and the Omega. The word Alpha, this is interesting. The word Alpha is the word for the first letter of the Greek language. Omega is the last, A to Z, we would say in English. What's interesting about this verse is that it's Alpha, the word, Alpha, and the Omega. The word Omega is not spelled. It is the letter Omega. which many scholars say this, that Jesus is the beginning or the revelation to mankind of the Word of God. Because doesn't the Bible say that He is the Word of God? But it's open-ended on the end, meaning that the Word of God will not come to an end. It continues on. What does that mean? Oh, it's a wonderful flirt. It's a flirtatious thing by God. He's saying, my Word, which is my Son, you have come to know. But in all time and eternity, you will get to know Him forevermore. There was a moment in time in your life when you got to know Jesus Christ. Remember when that was? Like last service. Some people this morning accepted Jesus. Do they know everything about theology? No, who does? Do they know all the ins and outs of prophecy? No, who does? But what do they know? They knew enough to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Are you with me? Well, what are they going to do for the rest of their life? Get to know Him. What are we going to do in eternity forever? Do you think we're going to reach a day where we're going to come out of some class and say, I got it. Jesus, I know everything about you now. I think it's going to take all of eternity. That's why how wonderful it is that little specific things left for us to find, these nuggets, that it's the open-ended omega that forever we will get to know of His wonderful love, His grace, His goodness, and His mercy. What a tremendous thing. The eternal one. Not only that, but He's the ruler of all the ages. Listen to that. Verse 8. He's the beginning and the end, saith the Lord. The beginning and the end is a reference to the governor of time. Isaiah 9:6 tells us that wonderful Christmas verse. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government shall rest upon His shoulders. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And we say the Everlasting Father. And in reality, it's the governor or the father of time. The baby born in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph, called Jesus, the Bible says that He's the governor of time. Isn't that a fantastic truth? He's the ruler of time. Boy, I tell you, what's more precious to us than money these days? It's time. We'll pay money to have somebody leave us alone. We'll pay somebody to help us get more time. Time is so precious. Jesus is the governor of time. All the names and titles of Jesus in the Bible, by the way, and I'd like you to take me up on this challenge. All the names and titles of Jesus Christ in Scripture are solely and strictly reserved for God alone. The Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Remember those 48 verses I told you I left out? They're sitting on my desk right now. It connects all those things together. If you want it, I'll give it to you after service. It's so great. When God says to Israel, I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and besides me there is no God. What do you hear Jesus saying when He comes into the New Testament time? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Why? Because God the Father manifested His will for mankind to be saved through Jesus Christ, His Son. And it's through Him and the preaching of His name and of His salvation that all men could come into that wonderful relationship with God. That's not a religion, by the way. It's a relationship. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 58, most assuredly I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He's the ruler of the ages. Verse 8 teaches us also that He who is coming is the ever-present God. This is a title reserved for God alone, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. The word Almighty here is a tremendous word. It means that He's the only, sole, one and only, exclusive potentate, or we would say the one and only one who is omnipotent. Omnipresent. All-knowing. All-loving. All-kind. All-holy. There's only one, says the Bible. When He says that He is the one who is, He's the one that's right now for us. When He says that He was the one who was, He was the one back then, as we look at it in time. He's the one who is to come. That means He'll be there. That's the God you and I worship. He was there. He's here now. He'll be there in the future. Where am I? Where am I? Wherever we are, He's there. The Almighty. Number three, our final point this morning, Jesus Christ is coming again because that's what the Bible says. Remember the bumper sticker? The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. A lot of people think we're nuts for that. You know that? And I understand that. You Christians are crazy. Probably are crazy, but we're going to heaven. Well, how do you know? Bible says so. The Bible says it. John says in verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation or the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. More on that in a moment. Was on the island of Patmos, called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Bible guys, circle this. Why are you in prison, John, on this island? By the way, what a dump of an island this is. Nobody takes a tour to Patmos. Okay, you go to Turkey, you head south in the Aegean Sea, and there's Patmos. You can wave at it as you go by. It's nothing but a volcanic rock. Rome sent prisoners there to dig in the mines, and then when they were done, they just threw them into the ocean. It's a horrible place. There's not a bush on Patmos. There's not a twig. That's where Rome sent John. Kind of a funny thing how he got there. He was preaching. He was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. John the apostle, the longest living apostle. All the other guys are dead. They can't get rid of him. The guy's a tremendous witness. He's arrested because he loves the Bible and he tells people about Jesus. He's arrested for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. He loves the Bible and he shares the love of Jesus with people. They arrest him and they put him in a boiling pot of oil. Everybody gathered around and they were going to make an example. They're going to boil him in oil. The only thing is, according to church history, just, you know, they brought him out and he's fine. Can you imagine? He's sitting there, it's boiling. Is that it? You guys going to heat this up or what? Pulls out the bar of soap, you know. It didn't affect them. They got so mad, they put him on a ship and sent him to Patmos to die as an old man. What does God do? It's a lonely place, desolate. In John's loneliness, he sees the glory of God. The book of Revelation is revealed to him, this old, precious man in his old, old age, near 100 years of age. What happens? Domitian, the emperor of Rome, the lunatic that sent him there, dies. So what an amazing thing. Nerva comes in now as emperor of Rome, a little bit more compassion towards Christians, and has John sent back to Ephesus, where he lives out the rest of his days at church, at the Ephesian church. Church historians tell us that they would open up the door and John would come in on a gurney. People had to carry him. He was so old. And he would raise his finger to the air and he'd say, brethren, love one another. That was his message. That's all he said. Brethren, love one another. And then the service was over. The pastor, maybe Timothy, was done preaching. He was a pastor there one day. And then John would be carried out. Brethren, love one another. Boy, I tell you, isn't the Lord coming back soon when we live in such a godless, loveless age? People will kill strangers. Somebody hitchhiking? Who's in danger now if you're hitchhiking? Lunatics will pick up a hitchhiker and kill them. Crazy world. Jesus says before he comes back, people will have a heart against the law. They'll be lawless.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, looking at some verses in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation that refer to the second coming of Christ. Next time here on Real Radio, we'll hear more of this study, so be sure and join us. Meanwhile, we invite you to pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You'll be able to listen to today's broadcast, as well as catch up on some recent broadcasts as we get underway with this fascinating book of Revelation. RealRadioactive.org. Now, if you prefer to get in touch with us by telephone, that's easy as well. Area code 909-393-7100. Again, area code 909-393-7100. And if you have prayerfully considered becoming a financial partner with Real Radio and seeing to it that this broadcast continue on the air, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Remember, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, you could just pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.